It's a beautiful morning in the Comox Valley, and my name is David Harrison. I'm excited to be asked to speak today to the church, and it's a real honor to be up here before you guys to talk about what brings us together, and that's the unity of Christ as we come together to talk about the theme of God, that we're all sons and this sonship thing together with a good Father. And you know, it's really awesome to think that we come together as different body parts today, different streams, but together we all come as one church, and it's an exciting thing. So let's give God a hand and give the church a hand today. It's a bit of a warm one out there, so we're going to be keeping things moving. When Pastor Chad asked me if I'd be able to speak and cover something in 10 minutes, I thought, okay, kind of like a TED talk, but I was like, is this going to be 10 minutes, like 60 seconds, or is this 10 pastoral minutes? Because anytime he tells me it's going to be 10 minutes, we know we're looking to about 20. So I'm going to try and meet somewhere in the middle, go between 12 and 15 today. Let's open the Word of God to Galatians this morning. Galatians chapter 4, we're going to be looking through verses 1 through 7. I mean that an heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers with the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. As I was spending some time thinking about what does that mean for us to come together as sons and daughters and heirs of God, it got me thinking about what is our inheritance to come in heaven and everlasting life, but also, what is our inheritance here on the earth now? And it got me excited, and it got me thinking about things like Jesus prayed, Lord, told us to pray, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And things like the fruit of the Holy Spirit that are for us because we have the Spirit of God. And as I was thinking about our inheritance as sons and daughters here on earth, it got me thinking about my past job. I used to work, before coming to the Comox Valley in Lethbridge, Alberta, as a government worker with immigration. And I worked with refugees coming into the country. And I worked with people coming from all over the world who had lost their home and lost their citizenship. But one of the major people groups that I worked with were Bhutanese refugees. And the people of Bhutanese refugees that I worked with had migrated over 300 years ago from Nepal to live in Bhutan. And because of different religions and conflict, over a 300-year period of settling, they were once told that they had to leave Bhutan. They were no longer welcome to be citizens in that country. And so after 20 years, the immigration process started to open up. And these people who I came to know, I got to know them, what they lived in the time that they had to leave their country. For 20 years, they lived in tents, row by row by row by row, no running water. All their rights had been taken away. They had very basic education, measured out food for every day. It was a tough life for them, but their whole life was on a standstill. So my job was, when I first received them in Canada, they would come off the airplane with these hockey-sized duffel bags, bringing everything that they owned. Pots and pans and some clothes, a few family heirlooms that they were allowed to gather in the time of craziness. And the point I'm getting to is this. When they came to our country, one of my jobs was to teach them classes on orientations about, okay, now you are a permanent resident to Canada. You have a home again. You have new freedom. You now have a place where you're covered by rights. So some of those rights were things like women. You have equal rights. Guess what? Now you can go to work if you so choose. You can go to school. There were so many limitations on them before when their life had just taken a complete pause. But it was very interesting to work with them over a period of years because it was a slow process for them to actually live out some of those rights and build a trust and an understanding of, okay, maybe after 1 year, I'll take a new step into maturity and I'm going to go to school, you know, not just living and hiding and these types of new freedoms. And it was amazing to see what after working with people and seeing them grow from several years coming off of a plane with a little duffel bag to all of a sudden coming together and buying houses, getting good jobs and growing and receiving happiness and a feeling of belonging where for 20 years they were told they didn't belong. They had no citizenship, nothing. We're going to come back to that in a minute. So that's one aspect of living as citizens of heaven. We have all these new rights that God has no longer called us slaves, but he's opened up the door for us when Jesus died for us and the veil was torn between heaven and earth, that we had this new access and we were called citizens of heaven. And it got me thinking around those lines, what are the areas in our lives as citizens where are we, like they said in Galatians, like a child, immature, slowly growing into our inheritance. And we're going to have a look at another side of father and sonship from the story of the prodigal son. We're all familiar with the prodigal son, where the son, or the what I prefer to call the story, the good father. The son goes out and asks his father for inheritance and spends all his money on prostitutes and gambling and spending it frivolously on everyone and anything, and comes to a point where he is no longer able to live. And he comes home and his father, instead of shunning him or saying, you did this or did that, the prodigal son comes home and the father of heaven, or the parable explaining the father, receives him home and celebrates his son because it is a picture of love. And the point I want to get to isn't to focus so much on the prodigal son today, but to think about the brother who was the one who came next to the father. He was upset and he said, Dad, I'm upset. How is it that you've come and you've killed the fatted calf for this brother who went and spent his whole inheritance and did nothing? And yet for me, a son, you've never so much as given a goat for me to go with my friends. And the father looked at him and said, Son, you were always with me, and all that I have is yours. Another way to look at that or to say that is, Son, I am always with you, and all that I have is yours. I've been thinking a lot about that. That as we come together today with one Father, that the Bible says that the church is like a city up on a hill, bright. We are the lighthouse for the world to look at and see because we're living a life that is full of life. Jesus Christ died that we may have life and life to the fullest. And like those refugees, once upon a time, we were just had an inheritance of heaven. But now that Christ has given us citizenship into eternal glory, that means that we have a whole lot of growth and maturity. You know, I get to walk with guys like Chad, my pastor, and see the other pastors and brothers in the fellowship, and I get to look at their life and say, wow, these guys have been walking a life as citizens of heaven for a while, and they're growing. And their inheritance isn't just these treasures for when they die. These guys are taking their inheritance of God and these treasures, and it's a part of their life here on earth. And I see them wearing their treasures in their heart. And it spurs me on to say, Lord, I want to be bold and I want to come before the throne of God and the throne of grace and receive my inheritance as a son and say, Abba, Father, Lord, what do you have for us as the church in the valley, as a family? One of the things that really gets me going and stirs my heart is this inheritance, this gift of God, this life that we have. We call it the free gift, that everyone can receive it by grace. But the fact of the matter is, this free gift for us was not free. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he died on the cross for our sin and paid a price that is unmeasurable for our minds and our comprehension. It's a gift that is the most valuable thing on the earth, our salvation, but it was not free. And so when I think about Christ going to the cross for us, sons and daughters, the first brother, the first son, making a way for many to come into the Father's house, I think about my responsibility as a son to pursue the things as a family. We come together to pursue the things of Christ, to pursue the things of heaven, because it wasn't free, but it is the will of God that we get to come into those things today. Just like my refugee brothers and sisters, my friends, as I look back and see the growth of coming as orphans and non-citizens into a country and seeing them grow and flourish, we get to do that in a spiritual means. If you're here today and you're hearing this message about the life that God has for us and this inheritance, and that something is speaking to your heart about who is this Jesus, the Son of God, did he die for me? In that same way, the prodigal son came home after spending everything that he had and wasting everything and wasting his life. That same father is here today with open arms to say that there has been none who have gone too far, because we cannot escape the love of God, right? I'm going to close with a verse today from James 1 to 17. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change or shift shadows. We have the opportunity to come together unified today as sons and daughters, and the assurance that our Father is so good and that he doesn't change and that he has so much for us in heaven in glory, but he has so much for the valley of Comox to grow in together. And as people come together, as we are family coming together, it's awesome that the Bible says that a blessing is commanded. So I want to encourage the church today that as we come together, that we bring the kingdom of God to earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Amen. Praise Jesus. I'd like to invite Julie up.
Good morning. It's still morning, isn't it? So I was asked to share a special song of sorts, and it really took me a while to actually find one that I felt really resonated with my spirit, I guess. And it's interesting because we're here to celebrate adoption, but I also want to recognize that there are some of us here who hear the word father, hear the word mother, and we have had terrible examples of that in our lives. We've been where our fathers should have been protectors or providers. They've ignored us or abused us. Where a mother should have loved us. they ignored our needs. Some of us, I want to recognize people that don't have a good view of Father. And that's what I hope to do in this song. We want to meet you there, and I know God wants to meet you there. This is an expression. The song is called Motherless Child. And I think it's in our brokenness. I think it's in our brokenness that God meets us. That prodigal son, he didn't come home until he realized that he couldn't do it. He didn't come home until he realized that he couldn't do it on his own. He had nothing. He couldn't make it on his own. So as I sing, as I play, I pray that these words will resonate with you. And if initially you're like, no, I had great parents, I also consider myself very blessed to have amazing parents, but I really had to search within myself to say there are still times where I felt lost and broken. And so I pray that you can find that place and allow God to meet you there and allow to God to speak into that place, Lord. May you speak into that place, Lord. Because it's when we express that we're lost and that we can't do anything on our own, we are better able to see our good and holy Father, who we desperately, desperately need, and who has been there all along, just waiting for his children to come home. And I don't know why I cry for help, but still feel alone, like a motherless child, a long way from home. Lord, I'm lost, I can't find a way. I'm dealing with the struggles in my day to day. My soul is weak, and I wanna be strong. I try to run away, but I've been running too long. You together in your mother's womb. I search you and I know you when you sit or rise. I hear both your laughter and your bitter cries. Did someone love the bottle more than they loved you? Did your parents tell you one day that the marriage was through? That's not who I am. I turn darkness to light. My child, I go before you in the fight. I go before you in the fight. My dear, oh. Thank you.